Morning, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. The event that we'll discuss for the next few minutes is very, very ordinary. In fact, it's so ordinary that across the four Gospels, only half a sentence is written about it. Only Luke gives any indication of what happened on the day after Jesus died. We know plenty about what led up to his death, how it happened, and then what happened when he came back to life. But the Bible says very little about what happened in between. In fact, in the reading we just read from Matthew, it doesn't say anything about what happened after he died and before the resurrection. It just skips straight over it. So I hear you ask the question, what is the point of talking about such a non-event if the Bible didn't tell us anything? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. The answer and the point of this exhort is simply that Jesus' followers were human, just like you and me. So today we're not discussing anything really complicated or really deep, just reading between the lines about how that single day would have been for the people who followed Jesus. They did live in a very different time and place to us, but despite that, hopefully we will be able to understand their point of view, and perhaps we'll be able to recognise some of the feelings that they felt on that day. But first, we need to rewind a bit. Jesus' ministry lasted for about 3.5 years, and it seems like he chose his apostles about a year in. We know what his instruction to them was. He said, "Follow me. Leave what you're doing. Leave your friends, leave your job, leave your family, and follow me." Initially, he sent them out to preach and to heal, and they had to rely on the hospitality of others. We know they travelled light. They had no money, no food, practical clothing, and they needed to find places to stay each night. So off they went in pairs, just like Jesus instructed them. At that stage, their task was to preach just to the Jews. So this put a limit on where they went. But it is highly likely that Jesus gave each pair of apostles their own specific areas in which to teach and to preach, because Jesus needed the gospel to spread, so it wouldn't be very effective if they all stuck together. Think of this from the apostles' point of view. There were many things about this set of instructions that they were not sure about. Jesus had assured them they would be safe, but what were they supposed to say to people who disagreed with them? What if no one listened? What if they had trouble finding somewhere to stay? What if no one gave them food? What if the apostle they were paired with was annoying and they talked too much or they talked too little? There were so many things they were uncertain about. But we know the apostles went ahead and did it because they trusted in Jesus. He gave the instructions and they followed them the best they could. Now, we probably don't understand what day-to-day life was like for the apostles during this time, because I'm pretty sure we've never had to spend time living like that. However, that feeling of uncertainty, we can definitely relate to that. I'm sure we've all walked into situations that are full of unknowns. Getting a job for the first time, changing jobs, retiring, moving houses, moving states, moving countries, meeting new people, learning new things, all sorts of situations where things are new and things are uncertain. Some of these situations are kind of fun. Some make us a bit nervous, and some are downright scary and intimidating. We're all different though, so a situation that might be fun for me could be absolutely terrifying for you. And the apostles were the same. They would have all had different reactions to this unknown task that Jesus gave them, but they did it anyway. So as time went on, it seems that the apostles gradually started sticking closer to Jesus, and they started spending more time with him rather than going out in pairs as they were first instructed. At around the same time, Jesus sent out 70 disciples, once again in pairs, to continue this work. For the 12, though, it appears that they spent most of their time with Jesus later in his ministry. Where he went, they went. They watched him heal, they watched him, they heard him preach, and they asked questions about things when they didn't understand. Some events do list specific apostles being present, so chances are they weren't all together all of the time, but their activities revolved around Jesus. What they did, who they spoke to, and where they went were tied to what he chose to do. So far, we've looked at just the 12 apostles, but we know there were many others who followed Jesus. His mother Mary is certainly of that number, as are the other women who helped look after him. The ones we know of, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, Salome, and Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. But there were also many others who followed him. Some of them are named in the Bible, most are anonymous. But as a general group of people, that is, his disciples, they were just like us. Each one was unique, but at the end of the day, they were all just humans. So this was everyday life for a follower of Jesus, not just the apostles. They travelled with him, they followed his instructions, they watched him teach, heal, feed, correct, and do miracles. Whatever Jesus said to do, it was what needed to be done, even if you didn't really understand why he asked you to do it. Day after day, week after week, year after year, this was the life of a disciple of Jesus. So that's all the background to the main event for today. From the point of view of his followers, the day of Jesus' crucifixion that we just heard about would have been thoroughly confusing. They had seen him get out of dangerous situations before, and they were probably expecting more of the same. When the priest came to arrest him, he didn't resist, though. In fact, he took that opportunity to heal someone one last time. When his trial involved him being sent between different leaders, he didn't do anything about it. He answered their questions when he was forced to, but mostly he stayed silent. When Peter three times denied that he knew Jesus at all, the most Jesus did was turn to look at him. Jesus could have spoken up when Pilate chose to release Barabbas instead of him, but he didn't. He was scourged, mocked, beaten, and made to carry his cross. And he let all of these things happen. Finally, he was nailed to a cross and left to die. At no stage through that very long day did Jesus try to save himself. For his followers, who were probably still expecting him to set himself up as king, this would have been extremely confusing, because surely this was the perfect time for him to show his power. Some people even taunted him on the cross, saying if he came down, then they would believe. To the confusion of his followers who are watching this, Jesus chose not to do this. If his disciples expected him to come back to life once he was taken off the cross, they were mistaken. If they expected him to come back to life once Joseph of Arimathea took his body, they were disappointed. Instead, the lifeless body of Jesus was put in a tomb sometime in the late afternoon, and everyone went home. Then, what happened? Luke tells us the women went and prepared things so they could anoint Jesus' body. But the next day was the Sabbath, so they had to rest. We need to pause this story for a moment to address the timing of what happens next. Now, I was vaguely aware of this, but I never really looked into it. But it turns out there are a few different ideas about the exact timing of Jesus' death and his resurrection. So what exactly constitutes one Jewish day? The role that the two different types of Sabbaths play, and which words were used by different gospel writers, all come into that conversation. Working through the different options is a study in itself. So we're not going to go into that. But for today, let's just stick with the simplest explanation. Jesus died Friday afternoon. He was in the tomb for the Sabbath on our Saturday. And then he came back to life Sunday morning. So let's get back to Jesus' followers. Do we think they had a good night's sleep Friday night? Absolutely not. The person they had trusted and followed and looked to for guidance was gone. I'm certain they looked at each other and asked, "What happens now? Did that really happen? Is he really dead?" It would have been a pretty long night for them. But at some stage, the decision must have been made. We don't know what's happening. It's getting late. Let's go to bed and we'll see what tomorrow brings. Now, I agree, the Bible does not tell us about any of these details, but I have no doubt something like that happened that night. So Saturday morning, they wake up. No Jesus. He's not knocking on the door, explaining it was a test of their faith. He's not making them breakfast. He's not rolling away the stone from inside the tomb. As the minutes tick by, then the hours, what are they thinking? Where is he? What do we do now? Based on the simplest explanation about exactly when Jesus died, that day, the Saturday, was the Sabbath. It was a day of total rest. You weren't even allowed to heat up food because that was classed as work. The Sabbath custom was to spend time together, talking and learning and enjoying each other's company. It was normally a happy day. What a long day to be without their master, though, because he'd been the focus of their lives for so long. How can they follow him when he's not there? I'm sure the hours crawled by as they looked at each other and asked, "What do we do now?" So midday arrived. Who would give thanks for the meal? Because Jesus normally did it. The evening meal was served. Still no Jesus. Again, who's giving thanks for this meal? That one big event caused a thousand little changes that day. And the disciples needed to find a way to cope with all of it and find a way to get things done despite that change. On top of all that, it's certain they were also worried about a knock on the door. Not from Jesus, but from the authorities. Because they had all been seen with Jesus over the last 3 years or so. And if the legal system decided that Jesus must die, then surely his followers were next. We know for certain this is what they were worried about, because the next day, after Jesus had risen, he appeared in the room where the disciples had locked themselves away for fear of the Jews. Now, obviously, they weren't afraid of Jews in general since they themselves were Jews, but clearly it was the Jewish leaders that they were worried about. On a normal Sabbath, Jesus would normally go into a synagogue to preach. And Luke tells us this was his custom, so he probably did it just about every Sabbath. On this Sabbath, though, the apostles did not follow this example. And by now, we can probably understand why. Even the bravest among them was paralyzed by what had happened and the fear of what might be coming next. It is important to note that Jesus did not tell them off for this at all. He didn't say anything about it. After he was resurrected and he'd shown himself to them all, he certainly did tell them off for not believing the women who'd reported that he was alive, but for their actions or their inaction on that one Sabbath day, he didn't say anything. So they spent that whole Sabbath day doing, well, we don't really know. No doubt they talked round and round in circles about why Jesus let it all happen to him when he could have stopped it at any time. By the end of the day, they were probably in the same position, exhausted, confused, upset, and totally stuck on what to do next. Most of them, that is. The women knew exactly what they were going to be doing in the morning, and they had all the spices ready to anoint Jesus' body early the next morning. So did they sleep well that Saturday night? Maybe the women did because they had a plan. Maybe the men didn't, since it appears they still had no plan. Either way, I'm sure we know those feelings, whether it's certainty or uncertainty about tomorrow, confidence or doubt that we know what we're doing next. So as I mentioned at the start, this is not a super deep topic. It's just a reminder that people in the Bible were also human, and they definitely had their dark days just like we do. Often the Bible skips years or sometimes decades in a person's life, but those gaps were filled with normal days full of normal ups and downs. Some days everything worked out well. They were healthy, they were sleeping well, the weather was good, people were friendly, everything generally went to plan. Other days, everything seemed to go wrong. They were tired and sick, the weather was the exact opposite of what was needed, everything was a struggle, and there was no one to help. And then, on particularly nasty days, like this Sabbath for the followers of Jesus, everything is so out of place that the only thing you can do is look at each other and ask, well, what do we do now? Hopefully those days don't happen too often. But I'm pretty sure we have more in common with Jesus' disciples than we realise. So finally, with all of this in mind, we turn to Jesus, who is the main reason we are here today. He certainly had days where things were hard, but we know he persevered through everything. He never gave up. And like always, he is our example. So let's remember him now.